I don't like this business of preaching to fans.
Calm down, Greg. It's soccer. It's soccer.
You know anything else about soccer?
Not much. All I know is I got a lot of balls.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're in the stadium watching the game on TV. It's just the guy's not good enough. The guy is just not good enough.
Simon, I don't know if you're big into New Year's resolutions, but, you know, wondering if maybe you pledged to come out of your shell a little bit in 2015.
Kind of pisses me off, to be honest.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York, you are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXM FC Channel 94. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me, the normal crew. There's no slights for anybody this time. Dave Goss, Simon Borg. Guys, how's it going? Simon, you're feverishly writing. You know why? It's 5 p.m. on August 6th.
It's deadline day, and there's more stuff coming down.
Yeah, this feels like this
it's
incredible.
Because when it's deadline day, you know, the midnight, you'll be hearing about players where paperwork was submitted just before the clock struck.
And I think that's what's going to happen here, right? It's 5 p.m., but I assume there'll be more deals come down. I mean, paperwork maybe has to be in. But
And it's a crazy day because this is deadline day, transfer deadline day, and it's the trade deadline
day. So this was your last chance to really, really get things going for the stretch run.
Tell me if I'm wrong, but this feels like the first deadline day similar to what other leagues around the world, what Europe has.
Yeah, the only thing we're missing, Dave, is that we should have sent you out on the road to stand in front of training complexes and have people yell behind you.
Should have thrown me in Industrial Park in Harrison, maybe up in SUNY Purchase, just hanging out with some college
kids, grabbing
some Starbucks.
Swope Park out there in Kansas City. Yeah. Are you excited? Is this one getting you going? Because I'm with Simon. This is the first time that I've really felt like this deadline has some real oomph to it. It has some real urgency, like, oh, something's coming.
Listen, I have refreshed Twitter about 15 times over the last minute and a half, so yeah, I'm feeling it. I enjoy it. It's fun. It's so exciting for fans to feel like, oh, you got a new toy to play with, like that new piece to work in, and now we start to hear about everything, because then you got the guy who, like, 2 hours later, they're like, oh yeah, we put this in, we just didn't tell anyone about
it. Right. So the last one that came down was Anibal Godoy, the Panamanian central midfielder, headed to San Jose. I think this is a great move for the Earthquakes. They needed a box-to-box guy, a guy with some bite, maybe a guy to get Chris Wondolowski out of that midfield. As it stands, Fatai Alishe is really the only one in there doing kind of the yeoman's work, with MPG doing some things as well. But that's a good move for the Quakes. Jordy Cantilla going to Sporting Kansas City. He's a Barca B guy. They kind of think he's along the same veins of Uri Rossell. Gaston Saro, Columbus Crew SC, 25-year-old, I think, Argentinian center back.
With European experience.
So he's coming in. Center back is an area of concern for them right now. Speaking of center back, Daniel Cyrus on loan to the Fire, the TNT International. He was actually with Sporting Kansas City earlier in his career back in 2011 when I was there. They really liked him as a prospect. It just kind of didn't work out. He got injured, had to move on. There's some other rumors going around here too. We'll see what comes of them. Of course, we can't speak of them yet. We don't know. So.
Well, one that's running around is Roman Torres, the Panamanian defender
Panama,
the captain.
The captain,
the
El
guy
Capitan,
who went apoplectic against Mexico. Not correctly.
Oh, Simon hasn't been back on
because
since both
Torres committed the foul that led to Mexico.
So you haven't been on since Mark Geiger and Pro both admitted that he did a poor job in that game.
Pro didn't admit that.
Okay, I forgot.
Okay.
And Mark Geiger, I don't know if he admitted it because I didn't hear him say it.
Yeah,
we've seen scenarios where people get their arm twisted.
Simon doesn't know it's true unless he literally hears it from the horse's
mouth. Not only that, it is amazing.
Gravity, I'm not sure about that one.
It's amazing the conspiracy that's around Mark Geiger that he's getting his arm physically twisted to get him to say.
I want to hear it from his mouth.
But you want to hear it from his
mouth. We'll try to get Mark Geiger in studio.
Hey,
look, we can only spend so much time on all this stuff. The reason being, we have two great guests today. Dave Sarakin, the associate head coach of the LA Galaxy, is going to join us in just a second to talk about all that Giovanni Dos Santos hoopla out there in LA. And in the second segment, one of the most exciting young players in MLS right now, Matt Miazga, center back for the New York Red Bulls. If you're a stats nerd, you love the guy. He's an analytics dream. If you're just going on the eyeball test, he's getting it done as well. A huge match this weekend for the Red Bulls hosting NYCFC. We'll talk all about the weekend that is to come in the second segment. In this segment, though, guys, first, before we get to the games, the CCL matches to Dave, We talked about the recent moves. We talked about some moves last time. We didn't mention Andreas Ivanschitz. He's a creative attacking midfielder for Seattle.
How many times you practice pronouncing that?
A lot of times. I generally have added the A in the middle, so it's a little bit.
What are we scared of? A name is a name.
I know. There's nothing to be scared of here. But what's the one move that excites you most this summer window? What's the move? It could be a big one. You could say, you know what? Frankly, it was Pirlo. He's the one that really got me going. Or you could say, you know what? Mark Pelosi, say, for the Earthquakes. You got a young U.S. international coming in. Tried his hand overseas. Can we do a better job here? Dave looking uncertain about his choice.
Well, now it's like I got to think of everything. But I'd say in terms of which team is going to improve from their signings and I think make them MLS Cup contenders, now I'm going to say three, which is an outrageous number. I think Sean Wright Phillips for New York. I think Saro, now the center back for Columbus. And I think Drogba for Montreal. Make all three of them MLS Cup contenders.
Okay, so we took the easy way out. I went with three. Simon, you're going with one. I'm not twisting your arm.
Yeah, going with one. Didier Drogba, to me, maybe I'm influenced by the reaction and the reception he got in Montreal. Mm-hmm. But the combination of the personality plus what he can do on this field just feels like big signing. I can't wait to see him on the field. Gio Dos Santos would be a close second, but to me, Drogba takes the cake.
Gio Dos Santos is mine because you're getting a Mexican national team or his prime. It's kind of been this like imaginary thing that MLS fans like to talk about. They're like, well, if we could only get an in-prime national teamer from Mexico, it would just blow up. Well, now we're going to see how that works. I'm extremely excited for Didier. There's a lot of great players on this list. I assume a lot more that we'll learn about as tonight goes on and we head into Friday.
Don't call him Didier anymore. I mean, Didier? I think people are calling him the King.
The King?
Yeah.
Okay. The King apparently is not going to be ready till late August, so we'll wait and see on him. But Giovanni Dos Santos is expected to be ready to play immediately. Thursday, CCL action at StubHub Center. Central FC, Trinidad and Tobago?
I don't know if you have to say Central. Can't you just say Central?
Yeah. I mean, I like Central. I guess that's true.
What's interesting, if you look at their logo, someone pointed out, it has a shark and an oil rig. Like, if you look closely at it, there's a miniature oil rig.
Yeah, why not? They're all
in
the logo
the
same.
With a shark.
Yeah, sharks can offshore oil rigs. They explore that. I mean, that's their habitat.
If anything, the oil rig is invading. It looks like an oil rig.
It is an oil
looking
rig.
At it.
As an identity.
You know what, though? It's not in all of their pictures of their logo. Some of them are just a shark.
Are you a shark? Are you mean? A shark is just a typical sports logo, and then the oil rig out of nowhere?
Are you mean? That's the question we're getting.
It probably has something to do with their ownership background.
Yeah, probably. Anyway, let's talk to Dave Sarakin. He's on the ground out there in L.A. There's been some real hoopla. 50, 60 cameras out there at training for the Galaxy. Giovanni Dos Santos with a smile on his face the whole time. It's getting a little bit wild out there, Dave. What do you make of all of this?
Good to be with you guys. Yeah, it's really been a whirlwind over the last few weeks for us, no doubt about it. But it's all good, and, you know, we're all excited, and most importantly, if you're speaking specifically about Giovanni, he's got a smile on his face and seems genuinely happy to be here and getting started himself. So, yeah, it's a good buzz right now.
So it didn't waste any time with the interest. You knew that a Mexican international in his prime in MLS could be a game changer. I think we've all known that for a long time, and we've kind of waited for that moment. And then I see the mob at the airport, and then I see, you know, 50, 60 just cameras out at your training. I mean, do you guys expect this to be kind of a permanent thing? I mean, the ramp up of just interest in every single thing he's doing and by extension every single thing you guys as a club are doing.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a little overwhelming on a certain level. I think if you asked, you know, all of us on the inside what it may look like, it's probably been a little bit more than I even thought as far as the interest and the amount of people and just genuine fans coming to training and all that. And I have no doubt that in the markets we're going to travel to, that there's going to be a real buzz with Giovanni on our roster. He's got that kind of appeal, and I think it's great for us, and certainly great for the league.
Now, where's he at physically, Coach? Because I know that he had some problems there at the end of the Gold Cup. They seemed pretty cautious with him. But all indications that we're getting is that he'll be available for this Thursday game in CCL and certainly at the weekend, a really big game for you guys against the Sounders. Is he good? All the pictures, like you said, he's smiling. In training, he seems like he's moving around doing his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think, all systems seem to be go, to be very honest. I think the Federation, the Mexico Federation, were real cautious with him. He didn't obviously participate in the final. He came in pretty healthy for us. He's only been in training since Monday, but all signs point to, the fact that he's good to go. Now the issue is going to be what kind of minutes that he'll get. And we're hoping that, in the Central game and for Sunday that he'll feature and have an impact in those games.
And formationally, positionally, role-wise, where does he fit into this team? You guys are already, it feels like, offensively stacked. How do you get Gio in and firing on all cylinders?
Well, that's a great question, and I think that's kind of the moving parts piece to everything at this moment. It's a good problem to have. I think initially the idea of Gio partnered with Robbie has the most legs to it at the moment, but I do think that he's a player that has the versatility to be put in wider spots or tucked in type moments. So depending on how that evolves, I think the starting points may be he and Robbie is a partnership up top, but knowing that there's flexibility there, clearly with a guy like Giassi having the ability to play wide and up front, and Gio also the same. So we'll see as we move along.
He's a guy who everyone that watches MLS has seen play with the Mexican national team in Europe. You've obviously scouted him heavily. Now he's in camp. What do you think the potential is here? Sebastian Giovinco right now, I think, is the benchmark for a young DP in MLS. Where do you think Gio's potential is to be a player in this league?
Well, I think the sky's the limit. He's still pretty young, obviously, and although he's played in different environments and big clubs, he's 26. He's got just so much potential, and I think the timing is perfect for him personally to be a guy that we're going to count on and feature day in and day out. He's certainly got the tools, the skill set to survive this league and to not only survive it, I guess, is to star in this league. And I think he's very motivated to really get his career going in a real fast track now. So I think, without putting undue, pressure on him or us as an organization, there's so much potential to have major impact with our team and within the league. So we're excited about that. And I think we have to give him some time. Like all foreign players coming in from different environments, it does take some time to adapt. So I don't know if he'll hit the ground running 100%, but I do think he'll catch up pretty quickly and be an important player for us and the league.
Arguably LA the best place for some of these guys to do that. You guys have had a good track record in the past. I was kind of surprised, Coach, when you mentioned that even you were a little bit surprised by the attention being paid this guy, because thinking back, and we're talking about an in-their-prime Mexican national teamer, Cuauhtemoc Blanco was a massive, massive star, and you had a front-row seat to his beginning there in Chicago. Can you compare and contrast a little bit? Like, what are you expecting? What have you told the guys to expect? Kalen Carr has joined us a few times on this show recently, and he said they would get to airports, and the staff behind the counter of restaurants all over the place would come to greet Cuauhtemoc Blanco. Is that the sort of thing you're expecting here?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question about that. And Blanco was this huge personality, but obviously a major piece to the Mexican federation and the national team. But he had this huge personality, and it was that way. And it's going to be similar with Gio. Now Gio is a different personality, but the star power is very similar. So, like I said, I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I had forgotten in some ways the impact that he has within that community. And so I've seen it a little bit, got a little taste of it here at training and certainly at the media attention. Now, when we get on our first road trip, it's going to be very similar, I'm sure. He's very recognizable, and, you know, there's just a real factor in terms of, you know, people wanting to get out and see him. So it's going to be very similar to that that we had in Chicago.
One of the stated goals for L.A. in making this signing is to be the first MLS team to win the CONCACAF Champions League. What about this signing? What about your club is different maybe this year? Is MLS closer to Liga MX in your opinion, or is it just that you guys feel like you've been a whisker away and now you're ready to go?
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, we've had some rosters in the past that we felt confident with. It's a real challenge, the Champions League, as we've all known, in terms of scheduling and the timing of the games and so on and so forth. But I would say pound for pound, if we're healthy and we look at our roster currently as we move along and really get into a rhythm, I'd say, you know, we would have a great opportunity and chance to go deep in that tournament with the expectation, and we always have the expectation of winning everything we are involved in, whether it's, you know, Champions League or MLS Cup and Open Cup and all the rest. Now, this year the Open Cup's not going to happen, but the expectation is that we've built a roster that can succeed and raise trophies in all these competitions, so we're looking at it very, very much like that.
A home game this weekend, Coach, against Seattle. That one's at 4 p.m. on Sunday, ESPN and TSN2 in Canada. Before we get to that one, I look back on the last 11 months or so, and it was incredible to me that the L.A. Galaxy, with all the success that you guys had struggled on the road and had not gotten a road win. From a coach's perspective, how do you explain something like that? Because in this league, you'd think, and not to say that anything against this league, but sometimes strange things happen. Sometimes teams have off nights. You would think the Galaxy would, at the very least, luck into an away win during that time. What was the deal, in your opinion?
I'll tell you what, I can't give you the exact answer. I've scratched my head. In fact, you know, the other game, the last game we played in Colorado when we won, it felt like this huge monkey was off our back. I don't really know, you know. Obviously, you know, the fact of the matter is when L.A. comes to town, you're getting the other team's best attention and usually their best game, usually a big crowd. That's all part of it. As the soccer goes, you're absolutely right. You'd think that the odds would be even the odd, weird goal here and there, we'd win one on the road. So I don't think it's a lack of effort. I don't think it's a tactical issue. I just think that we, for whatever reason, you know, start a little slower on the road, get behind the eight ball, and teams have this adrenaline rush and find a way to manage themselves into either a tie or a win. Now, you know, we try to play. We don't compromise the way we play too much, whether it's home or away, but maybe tactically that's some of the things we've thought about in terms of our away approach. So I don't have a clear answer, but I think now that we've broken the ice, so to speak, we're hopeful that we'll get more points on the road as we move along.
There you go, monkey off the back, and yet you're still in third place in the Western Conference. That tells people how good you've been at home, that plus 21 home goal differential. That's something the Seattle Sounders have to be looking at. They've had a tough go of it over the last 2 months or so. But this has turned into what some people might consider an MLS rivalry. Those are very very fluid, let's say, depending on where teams are at. But you have a team that's coming in that's, like I said, had some rough times. Do you expect them to have that second half bump? I mean, right now they're on the edge of the playoffs, but this is a team that I think everybody in the league figures, hey, this is a top three talent when it comes to roster come the rest of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was asked this question about our game Sunday with Seattle, and I would never underestimate Seattle. I would never underestimate any teams in our league, but certainly a team like Seattle with, you know, a coach that's been around the block, that has them prepared, a team that may have a little chip on their shoulder, regardless of whether Obafemi and Clint are in top form or not. They are always a team that will come in and give us a real game. And, you know, internally, sure, you know, when Seattle comes to town, we would love to beat them, but I would say that any Western Conference foe, it's a 6-point swing mentality. This weekend, you know, we're looking at it as just continuing on in the rhythm that we've established from Colorado and continuing banking points as we move forward towards the playoffs. But Seattle is a team that you never underestimate, and we know it's going to be a hard game on Sunday.
Banking points in the second half. That just seems to be what the LA Galaxy do. Make sure you tune in Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern, ESPN, TSN2 in Canada. You are likely to get a glimpse of Giovanni Dos Santos, a big move for the Galaxy. Hey, Steven Gerrard as well. Somehow we haven't talked about him, Coach, but we'll let you go for now. Prep for Thursday's CCL match. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Of course, we'll see how the Galaxy do on Thursday night there at StubHub Center against Central FC, the Sharks, the Oil Rigs, whatever you want to call them. Other CCL action for MLS teams, Real Salt Lake went on the road to Municipal. They won 1-0, put that 6-4 loss to DC United behind them. Also in CCL, two MLS teams coming together, Vancouver and Seattle, 1-1 at BC Place on Wednesday night. Seattle's Lamar Nagel tying the game late. They'll both take 1 point from that one. That's a big, big group as far as MLS is concerned. One of these two teams you expect will move on, but we'll see what happens. And then in MLS, Montreal Red Bulls 1-1. Oduro getting his for Montreal. Lloyd Sam for the Red Bulls. The Red Bulls pushing late. They couldn't quite get the win in this one. And then the game I really want to talk about, Toronto FC Orlando. Jovinko. How many times do we have to say that this guy is the best player in the league right now? Because I don't think there's any doubt. 16 goals now, a hat trick in this game. He's atop the Golden Boot charts. And this is one without Michael Bradley, without Jozy Altidore. It doesn't matter. He carries them.
We've said it before. I think he plays better without those guys on the field. When it's all him, I don't know if he just assumes that responsibility.
Don't clutter the field with anybody else. Just give me the ball in space, and I'll make Aurelien Calin look like a fourth-grade defender.
I don't think we've really seen – it took him time to settle in the league, and since that moment, Bradley hasn't been there. So I don't think we've seen it yet. I agree with you that he's been at his best when Bradley's not there, but I think that's because – he settled in as the season went along, and then Bradley disappeared.
No,
for
but
two
I also
months.
I also think that players look for him when you don't have Bradley to look for. I think if you're a player on the field, who are you looking for? And you have the ball, if you're a midfielder, where are you going? Usually, you're probably looking to Bradley.
He's probably showing for the ball. He's probably in the right spot. It's an easy play for you. It makes sense.
And so I think in this case, Giovinco probably gets more of the ball, and I think it makes
you know the most terrifying scenario for an MLS defender right now. Looking to your right, seeing the big switch and saying, oh, crap, Giovinco Giovinco got into space. I'm absolutely cooked now. Aurelien Calin, he got it last night. After the game, Adrian Heath really ripped into the Lions. He said that first tackle for the PK, ridiculous. Completely agree with that. Absolutely unnecessary. You were never going to skip Giovinco there. But he's atop the Golden Boot charts. He is a big signing, but he's not a summer transfer window signing. Let us know what you think as far as your team's moves. Did they help themselves? Does this make your club an MLS contender? Let us know at Extra Time Radio, extratime at MLSsoccer.com. When we come back, Matt Miazga of the New York Red Bulls and NYCFC Derby coverage.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Perry Kitchen of DC United, and you're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Back now on Extra Time Radio with the guys Simon Borg, David Goss. I am Andrew Wiebe. Let's jump into the weekend. Wasting no time, Viernes de Football is back. I was had a little empty spot in my heart last week for that one. I didn't know what to do on Friday nights. This Friday, 11 p.m. Eastern, Unimas, as always, Portland, Chicago Fire. And guess who's back in MLS? Gilberto, Kurt Larson's favorite person of all time, but he seems like an upgrade for this team, right? Am I wrong? Because Igbo Anike wasn't getting it done, and Akam, I think, maybe more of a wide player, not necessarily the hold-up guy.
Gilberto's a guy who's going to bring other players in. He does more than just Igbo Anike, while he was finishing, wasn't great, doesn't give anything else. So Gilberto can drop deep and create. He can hold up. He just gives you more of a complete player. And he's already played in this league, so he shouldn't have to settle in the same as other guys do. And maybe if he hits the ground running, they still have a shot of battling for that last playoff spot.
Maybe he's a guy that helps Sean Maloney get going. I know he's had some injury problems. There were some rumblings of an offer from Hull City in the championship for him.
If you're Chicago, do you take that offer?
Yeah. I think I would have. Just because, not because I don't think Sean Maloney is a bad player. I would just give the keys to Harry Shipp.
Absolutely. You have Harry Shipp.
I mean, give them to Harry. Yeah, it's a better deal for you. You get that cap room off. You can go build elsewhere.
If you can find a way to have a Calm on the left, Shipp on the right, and then Igbonanike and Gilberto up top. I mean, when we talk about the whole...
Who's playing defensive midfield? Because they better have like...
Matt Polster.
They better have like people. Robot legs.
I left you two guys okay. to play All defensive right. mid. But if you have that foursome, I mean, tell me who in the league has the LA Galaxy.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But who else? Who else? Not even the Seattle Sounders.
And you also don't even have Nyarko in that conversation.
Yeah, Nyarko's going to come in.
Or McGee. Or Mike McGee.
Yeah, they got something there. Injuries have really hurt the Fire this year. Saturday, packed slate. TFC Sporting Kansas City started off. That's a great game. Roger Espinoza out for 2.5 months. That's worth mentioning for sure. Montreal and DC United, follow that. Then Columbus and Colorado. The news here is that Jack Mack is now wearing black and yellow. He got traded in the kind of the wake of this Johan Venegas move, which I don't know that we've talked about that one either. I
mean, we did mention it on the last show.
These things come fast and furious. It's really hard to remember. But Jack Mack gets a new team. This is now his third landing spot in MLS, Philly, Montreal, and now to Columbus. He seems to be death behind Kai Kamara, but he's a new piece. He's something different. Is this a good move for him?
Well, you got to tip your hat to Columbus to beat out Werder Bremen and able to pick up Jack McInerney, and then they get the scraps with Aaron Johansson. But I think Kalen Carr was on this show a week ago.
he was slow on the uptake there.
Yeah, not slow on the uptake.
When Kalen was
cringing. Before the smile came, I was cringing.
When Kalen was on the show, he said Kai Kamara is having a phenomenal season, but you need someone who either can spell him or maybe push him a little bit, not allow him to relax too much. They didn't have another legitimate change of pace striker option on that
team.
So
you think Jack McInerney is coming in and pushing Kai Kamara for a starting job?
No, but
I think... Do you seriously think
But there's
that?
There's more there's competition. Let's put it that way. Adam Beldel, by the way, traded to Orlando City today?
Do you think Kai Kamara looks down on Jack McInerney? Because he's looking down. He's taller. He's more muscular. He's physical. Jack McInerney can't be Kai Kamara.
He can't, but you
don't
want
Kai Kamara looks at Jack McInerney
and
sees him as competition.
No, but you need a change. You need something else. And Schoenfeld and Bedell are the exact same option.
Bedell was moved to Orlando.
Yeah, I just said that. You acted like that's some brand new piece of news.
So the point was, now you bring in McInerney. From a team point of view, now you have, okay, let's just say what Kamara is doing isn't working, or maybe your system isn't working in a game.
It is working.
Maybe he gets
hurt. They lost in their last game 5-2, so not everything's working. So if it's not
Kamara's working.
Yes, but if not everything.
He is just the other day was the league leading scorer.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. It's only what you did yesterday.
I mean, honestly.
Look, it's thunder and lightning, Simon. You have two different options. I actually think that Jack Mack in that system can do something. I think he fits. He may not be the same kind of physical presence that Kamara is, but they like to play crosses, and Jack McInerney, can get to the front post and finish.
But we agree he's a backup. He's on the bench something happens.
Yes.
In case something Kai Kamara happens. Is a star in this league. He's an all-star.
Yeah. Yep.
No one's pushing the all-star.
All right. Vancouver RSL is going to finish off the Saturday action. As you joked, Aaron Johansson did move to Werder Bremen, so no RSL Unsmend national team connection there. Sorry, RSL fans.
Werder Bremen. Am I right,
sorry.
Simon?
I'm sorry?
Sorry for Bremen. What is he going to be able to do at that?
They almost had him.
Werder
Bremen.
Sunday, we already talked about it. LA and Seattle. This one's at StubHub Center. It's going to be at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's on Fox Sports. Oh, sorry.
The Sounders better watch it.
That's a CCL game. ESPN2, TSN2. Sounders better watch it?
Sounders better watch it. I mean, L.A. at home,
Geo's debut.
Destroy teams.
Plus 21 goal differential. We talked to Dave Sarakin about it.
And Seattle, I mean, they're leaking goals. They're not scoring any. It doesn't sound like Obafemi Martins is going to start this game. Might not be ready to start. And so, you know, Dempsey alone showed that he can't do it. So I would be concerned if I'm a Sounders fan.
Yeah, they've made a lot of moves here at the end of this at the end of the transfer window. The Roman Torres one's still up in the air,
but
Nelson Valdez, maybe a guy, a Paraguayan striker from the World Cup, people might notice. He's in Seattle. The rumors are surrounding it.
Sure, but like 72 hours before this big match, I don't think it's going to do you much good.
That's true.
Can I just throw something out there real quick? In their last game, they drew 1-1. Before that, they lost 3-0 to Vancouver. Seattle lost 1-0 to Montreal, 1-0 to Colorado, 1-0 to Chicago, and beat DC United 1-0 the game before that. So I don't know what leaking goals means, Simon. Defensively, they've been strong. They've been incapable of scoring.
Well,
but
technically,
they've been strong.
Four straight games of either 1-0 losses or 1-0
wins. I'm going to jump in here and settle
this. They allow 3 to Vancouver.
To the best team in the league, yeah.
I'm going to jump in and settle this. A leak is technically slow. It's slow. Okay. It's not, you know, a flood would be different. So
the leak is probably pretty accurate there.
On that note, let's get to Matt Miazga, rookie. Well, not rookie. He feels like a rookie. 20 years old. He's a homegrown defender for the New York Red Bulls. Really a darling, or becoming one, in MLS and U.S. men's national team circles. He's on the line now. Matt, how's it going, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing pretty good here. Now, we were talking in this office about what's going to go down with this game and how, you know, how these two teams are in some ways fighting for New York City. And there's got to be some New York, some New Jersey, some Long Island folks out there that have not decided who their team is between the Red Bulls and NYCFC. So I'm going to give you the chance before we get into the game, before we get into your career, any of that stuff, to sell some of these people on the Red Bulls. How are you going to sell them? What's your pitch?
Well, we've been around since the start of the MLS, so that's a big plus. And I think that, from now, we're 2-0 against them, which is a good thing, and it's a big game coming up on Sunday, so we're looking forward to that game and trying to get the wins there. But also, I mean, we have the best supporters in MLS, as well as one of the best stadiums in MLS, if not the best stadium. So I think there's a lot of points in that perspective, and yeah, I think Red Bulls is a team to stand by in New York.
There you have it, the pitch. Now let's turn to the other side, NYCFC. I want you to describe me, NYCFC, in one word. What's the one word that comes to mind when I say New York City Football Club?
Some mental editing going on
here. Yeah, yeah. Trying to keep the bulletin board material out, huh?
I just light blue, I guess. I don't know. Blue. That's just when I just hear of NYCFC, I just think of like the color of their jersey, which is light blue. That's about it. I don't know. That's kind of weird.
You already made the case. You guys got two wins against them, so you can, you know, people that lose to the Red Bulls. There you go.
Matt, first game you faced them, you got a red card. Second game you faced them, you had a goal. What do you have in store for this weekend?
This weekend, you know, I'm just going to come out like I do every game. Just trying to shut down my opponents, trying to get a shut out first, and then just contribute to my team any way I can, you know. Just try to be a dominant force in the back, commanding, and get the shut out.
And that challenge is going to be a little bit different with Lampard, with Pirlo now in this team, not just David Villa for you to stop. How have you guys gone about talking about your opponent and how maybe the matchup's going to be different this time than it was the other two times?
Yeah, we haven't really gone over the scout yet because we just got back from Montreal, so we were focused on that game. But, everyone knows that now they have Lampard and Pirlo, which are obviously very experienced players, really good players and well-renowned. So they're going to add a different element to this New York team that we faced the past two times. So we're excited for the new talents, and we're looking forward to the game, and we'll be ready.
Now, you've done pretty well against David Villa. That's not something a lot of defenders in this league can say. What's the secret, man? I hear that laugh. You know.
No. I mean, like I said before, I mean, every time I go on the pitch, I just try to win my battles. It doesn't matter who I'm playing against. I look at everyone the same, you know. Every forward in this league is good and has their different attributes. So I just try to do my job and shut them down and just play my best and try to perform.
What were you thinking that first game? You get the red card. What goes through your mind? And then how did you spend the rest of the game in the locker room? I have to imagine for a young guy, for a defender, in that first rivalry match in this, that had to be tough, right?
Yeah, it was a total opposite of what I was thinking about the night before. But it was obviously very disappointing to get the second yellow, and obviously it hurt. I mean, it was tough because it was really early. I mean, it was pretty early in the game. It was still the first half, so in that aspect, that was tough. But Yeah, I knew we were up 1-0 at the time, so I knew all we had to do was keep the lead, and fortunately we scored a second goal early in the second half, so I knew that my team got it. They had my back, so I was happy that we won that game. And yeah, in the locker room it was tough. I was just watching, just hoping that we don't give up a goal, and luckily we did at the end, but we were already up 2-0, so that was good, and the boys had my back, and at the end of the day, I mean, we got the win, which is the most important thing. Unfortunately, I got the 2 yellows, but I got to move on and get past that.
Were you pacing around in the locker room? Like, could you sit still? I mean, what was this the type of thing you just lean back and watch the game and hope? Like, I'm trying. Paint me a picture here.
Yeah, we have like a little lounge in part of our locker room. So there's a TV there, and I was just watching the game with one of our athletic trainers, and I was just nervous and just hoping the game. I mean, the second half went by pretty quick, so I was just hoping that, you know, everything went fine. And like I said, I was a bit nervous just so we can close out the game. But I knew I had a gut feeling that my teammates were gonna help bail me out and get the win, so that was good.
And they did. The second follow-up at Yankee Stadium, another great atmosphere, another great match between these two teams, and you get a goal. You get an insurance goal in this one. And then you went with the baseball bat celebration. I got to tell you, Matt, it doesn't look like you've ever swung a baseball bat. That's just my outside opinion. Is that the case? And also, come on, talk to Felipe. One of you has to throw the pitch, or, you know, there has to – two people can't swing the bat.
Yeah, I mean – We talked about it before that game. I was telling Felipe after we scored, I was like, pitch it to me. But he, I don't think he heard me. I mean, it was pretty loud in the stadium, so I don't think he heard me. And then I saw him going to our fans, and he was already like swinging his bat. So then I'm like, all right, I gotta swing mine now, because I'm gonna look stupid if I don't. So I just did it. I mean, I've got my fair share of people telling me, this swing sucked, but honestly, I don't care. I mean, I'm not a baseball player, so it is what it is. I mean, people say it looks more like the golf swing, but who knows? It is what it is, and it was fun to do it to a golf fan, so that was fun.
That's all that matters, man. As long as you get the goal, as long as you get it done. Do you have anything else in store? I mean, you said you thought about that in advance. Have you done any thinking, not just about this game, but in the future? You have some stuff stored up for us?
No, as of right now, I don't have anything. Just focused on each game coming up and just trying to play my best.
All right. Well, the game coming up this weekend on Sunday, that one is one that everybody's going to want to catch. Matt Miazga and the Red Bulls playing at 7 p.m. Fox Sports 1 against NYCFC. Let's go back in the past a little bit, Matt. Let's go back to 2013 when you decided to sign this homegrown contract with the Red Bulls. There's a lot of guys that go to college. There's some guys that are signing these homegrown deals, some guys going other routes. What about signing homegrown with the Red Bulls was the right decision for you? Why did you go down that path?
Yeah, so, I mean, I always wanted to become a professional when I was younger, and once the opportunity came up with the New York Red Bulls, it wasn't more of an ideal situation than that. I was home. This was a club I grew up with since I was 13 years old, and I had everything here, you know, my friends, my family, the support here, and yeah, I mean, my dream was always to debut first with the New York Red Bulls and play in front of our amazing fans in our home stadium, so the path was laid out perfectly for me, and I took the opportunity, and I'm very happy with it.
And we've heard that if you weren't going to the Red Bulls, you were most likely going to go play at the University of Michigan.
Yeah, I had the University of Michigan. I was committed there, but I also had a few European offers that I was thinking about, but like I said, Red Bull I thought was the best situation for me, and I took that route and very happy with it, and it's going to continue to work hard.
When you hear from your friends that you played in the academy with, guys that are out in college now, do you feel like maybe you're missing out on anything?
To be fair, obviously, you know, college is a lot different than the professional life, so obviously people tell me about the fun they have and stuff, but I tell them that, and then obviously they know that being a professional, I mean, everyone dreams about it, and I tell them nothing's funner than playing the sport you love professionally and at your hometown and in Red Bull Arena, you know. So I think I'm very lucky and blessed to be in the position I am. But obviously, you know, my friends also have a good time in college, but it is what it is.
Do you live at home, Matt? Are you still with the folks?
Yeah, I'm still with the folks. Very comfortable here, but thinking about moving out soon. We'll see what happens.
Thinking about moving out. Now, here's the question. Do you still have to do chores? I'm assuming you're not getting out of these things. I mean, you have like a you go home from practice and you're like you're cleaning out the sink.
Yeah, always. I mean, my parents are quite strict on that. I'm always the garbage. You know, my mom, whenever she says, "Oh, I'm gonna do dishes," I gotta do dishes. Sometimes I need to do my own laundry and stuff like that. But yeah, always my dad always helps me, wants me to help him do yard work and stuff like that. But I mean, I gotta help out around the house. I'm living here, so. So I got to do my fair share.
There you go. That's recovery time, man. You got to do that yard work on the weekends. You got to be like stretching, swimming at the pool.
Yeah, I know. I usually try to ask my dad, you know, let me get a break. I got a big game coming up on the weekend, but he goes, no, just you got to do it. It's all mental.
Is there anything about being a pro that's maybe surprised you outside of just the level of play at the MLS level and maybe stuff off the field that surprised you?
It's a good question. Not really. I mean, obviously you have to be, you know, very consistent, a lot of hard work. The level is obviously higher, so you got to adjust as quick as possible. When I signed, I had to adjust really quick because playing with some big time players like Thierry Henry, Kincaid, you know, Dak, Riccardi, and all them. So I had to adjust quick, but overall, you know, you've got to stay consistent because I think consistency is very important at professional level. And yeah, I think overall, nothing's really surprised me. Just the amount of hard work you need to put in and just become better and better every day because there's a lot of competition. So you just got to try to be your best and your minutes.
Long international career for Thierry Henry. You're just embarking on your international career. You went to the U-20 World Cup with the U.S., getting to the knockout rounds. A good run for you guys. But before all of that, there was some talk about whether you might choose Poland or the U.S. Where does that stand now? Do you feel in one camp? Are you still trying to figure out what you want to do? How do you feel about that at this point in your career?
I'm going to be honest with you guys that you never know what happens in the future. I still obviously didn't get a senior call-up from either, so I'm keeping my future open. But I am focused more on the U.S., and my goal now is to make the Olympic team coming up for Olympic qualifiers and hopefully the Olympics down the road. So I'm just going to continue to work hard with my club and hopefully that comes along its way, you know, with me playing well. And we'll see what happens in the future. You know, nothing's decided yet. Nothing's for certain, but we'll see what happens.
You've obviously spoken with the U-20 coach, Top Ramos, when you were playing with them. Have you ever had any conversations with Jurgen Klinsmann, maybe anything specifically about what you would need to do to get into the first team national team picture where there's a lot of questions right now at center back?
Yeah, I never personally one-on-one spoke with Jurgen, but Jurgen plenty of times spoke to our U-20 team leading up to the World Cup. He came down to California in a pre-camp and spoke to us, and he spoke to us many times via Skype when we were in New Zealand, giving us a little pep talk and telling us that we're the future, you know, we're the next crop of players coming up, and he's watching, and all the U.S. coaches are watching and waiting for us to make the next step to the first team. So we'll see. You know, I'm going to continue to work hard and focus on my club, and then hopefully if everything goes well, you know, one day that call can come. But now I'm just focused on Red Bull and trying to get better and better and develop. And if that comes along the way, that's great. And we'll look forward from there.
There you have it, man. Good luck. Keep going. All the stats nerds love you, and all the MLS geeks are getting on the Matt Miazga train as well. I've even read some things out here recently that there's some EPL clubs maybe monitoring you. So you a big international soccer fan, from my understanding. When you look at your career, you've started with the Red Bulls. What do you dream about? Is there are you a guy that's like, look, I want to play in the EPL. I want to go to La Liga. I want to do this, that, and the other. Do you think about that?
Yeah, of course. Obviously, I want to play at the highest level, in soccer, and hopefully one day I can play in UEFA Champions League and maybe even a World Cup for the full team. But right now I'm focused on Red Bull and hopefully down the line, you know, I can make the jump to Europe or something like that and play at the highest level. But right now, I'm very happy here with Red Bull and to continue to play here and trying to win more games and win the MLS Cup for the fans.
There you have it. The next one they want to win this weekend, Sunday, Red Bulls hosting New York City FC, that New York Derby. It's going to be a big one, 7 p.m. Eastern, Fox Sports 1 and TSN2 there in Canada. Matt Miazga, one of the centerpieces, let's say, of the MLS homegrown movement and the back line there for Red Bull. Matt, good luck, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, so here's my question for you, Simon. Year one, NYC rivalry. This is a big deal for both clubs. Let's say Red Bulls pull out the sweep. What does that really mean in kind of the relationship between the two?
It means that year two is going to be fun because NYCFC will have a chip on their shoulder. But for NYCFC, if they make the playoffs, no one's remembering those three games.
Really?
You don't think
anybody's remembering those? You don't think all the fans
next
in this
year,
city?
Next year they will when it comes to facing each other next year. But if they don't make the playoffs, that's where those 9 points will factor in a huge way. Because you figure NYCFC are not going to be, double digit points away from a playoff spot. Mm-hmm. You'd like to believe with all the star power they have. So then, yeah, if they don't make the playoffs, then I think people look at those 9 points.
Man,
and say,
I tend to think it's a bigger deal than that. I tend to think that this is a formative. This is where the beginnings of the rivalry are. And for if they win this game, Red Bulls, for the next however many years, they're always going to be able to point back and say, remember when we slapped you
but
around.
But listen, here was the thing. Red Bulls had to win the first one because they were the established team and NYCFC was
That's
new.
True.
So then they won the first two. They've now won this series of this year. But for NYCFC fans, you can say, well, we're an expansion team. We're still coming together.
Yep.
I think next year the matchup head-to-head is bigger. But as a fan, you always want a bullet in the chamber when you're having the debate with the opposing fan.
Right.
And you want to be able to say, well, we beat you in our expansion
year.
20 years, guys, and we beat you. When on the other side, for Red Bulls, you want to be able to say, listen, you came into the league, you guys talked a lot, we swept you aside, and now we're looking to challenge for an MLS Cup. So there's it's on both sides, of course, and obviously you want to win a rivalry game. But I agree with Simon that for NYCFC, making the playoffs this year is the
let
key.
Let me get NYCFC Red Bulls in the playoffs. Please, please,
yeah, I was gonna
please.
Say, so
oh, my God,
NYCFC
please.
Squeak into the playoffs somehow. So they're on the lower end of the Eastern
table. Yeah,
they
maybe win that wild card game.
The Red Bulls are in that second, third spot, and they might be able to catch DC, in my opinion. I still think New York Red Bulls' best team in MLS. So I think they are within a chance to get that top spot.
Imagine
you
if Mark Geiger
see,
played
you could
for
see that matchup.
Red Bulls.
It could be interesting. As it stands, 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, Fox Sports 1, TSN 2. Make sure you catch that. Big thanks to Matt Miazga for joining us here. Definitely enjoyed that one. That's all for the second seg. Let's go to the mailbag.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hey, this is Kyle Land from Orlando City. You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
Drums, please!
Back now on ETR, Simon Borg, David Goss. I am Andrew Wiebe. We're watching the trade ticker here, the transfer ticker. Nothing happening right now. We'll see. There'll be some more going down very, very soon. Let's see. Jump into the mailbag here. Somebody emailed us this link. Eintracht Frankfurt's coach Armin Vey said Timmy Chandler has to ask himself what he wants. Basically, he's upset with him for going to the Gold Cup. He says, hey, I understand he wants to play for the U.S., but it doesn't help me and Eintracht. He has to ask himself what he wants. Is that going to keep European players from playing for the U.S. in some instances? I mean, that's their preseason. Germany, I can't imagine, was cavorting around for a month.
I don't think this is anything new. I'm sure MLS coaches must exert some deal of pressure on some of their players who aren't necessarily with the U.S. team, but maybe are with other
right
CONCACAF countries.
Winifred Schaefer said after Jamaica's loss that, look, people need to understand how big of a sacrifice it is for these guys because it may be their jobs that are on the line after they miss those preseasons. So tough for him. Also,
let me ask you this. If it's you and you have your job, your main job, and then a national team call-up.
You do both. I'd do both.
Really?
Yeah, really. I think I'd have faith in myself to go win my job back or that I come back in and I'll be ready because I've been playing all summer. I'm good to go. I may not have gotten rest, but I'm at the top of my game. Tim Ream, he didn't play a ton for the U.S., but now there are rumors that he could be making a move to QPR. Keep an eye on that one. Dave, I'll let you jump in. What do we got?
We threw out there what's the best MLS move of the summer, and we asked a little bit. We got a few responses. We got a lot of Giovanni Dos Santos. We got one tweet saying Giovanni Dos Santos. Richie Garcia says will change the landscape of MLS and Galaxy.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big move. We have DC Ignited who says Saborío. He provided the kickstart needed to propel the Black and Rel to Supporters Shield and MLS Cup 2015. We didn't mention trades, so I don't know if there's a trade that you guys want to put on that list as well now.
The Alvaro Saborío trade is big. I mean, yeah. If you conclude that DC United were one forward away, one target forward away from being a complete team, which you can make the argument, then yeah, it's going to be a huge trade because it turns a team into a cup contender.
And Sam Svilar says, not exactly a summer move, but let Jet. He's been excellent, an average of a goal per every 107.5
minutes. That's definitely
a
good call.
Is he the best move of this year? What if he ends up being the best player?
He is the move that has, I think he's over, not overproduced, but he has been the move that I think has surprised folks the most with his impact. Because you just didn't know coming out of that West Ham stint exactly what he would be. And for him to come in and score, what is it now, 6-7 goals? In this period of time?
In the position he plays.
Yeah, it's really a huge, huge, huge contribution for the Galaxy.
Let's jump into the emails. We have an email from Matt in Des Moines, Iowa. And he says, hey, Dingbats. That's to you guys.
That's not me.
The FA just announced a new law for the upcoming Premier League season. The rule will apply only to players who feign an injury to earn an opponent a red card. If the footage used to overturn the red card also holds proof of simulation, then that player will be punished and suspended. Is this going to work? And would you like to see something similar in MLS?
How many times are you going to really see that in a year?
Yeah. And honestly, it's also really tough because, like, what's to say a guy rolling around on the ground holding his knee after he gets cleated?
That's embellishment. He's talking about simulation.
Oh, simulation.
Where you totally fake it, where you dive, where there's no contact.
Well, but except it's only in situations where you're talking about a serious injury red card. So the diving to drawing the foul, I don't think applies to this.
Embellishment. Like there's contact, but it's not actually that bad, and you get yourself carted off the field.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard. How are you supposed to judge that on a guy? Like, it might hurt really, really bad at that moment.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't stick on you.
So the thing about the rule is it's only if they use it to overturn the red card. So the assumption is if you're overturning the red card, like, it could be a situation where there isn't even contact.
Right, okay.
If you go down and hold your face, and then they look at the replay, and they see that there isn't even contact, now you can go back and punish them. So could be interesting. Thanks, Matt. Mm-hmm. We also have a nice tweet from Garrett Weiss who tells you, Andrew, that UConn hasn't played in the ACC for a little while now. They play in the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah, I got confused. AAC versus ACC. I'll take a mi culpa on that one. Lo siento. Let's see. We've got about 45 seconds here. Anything to add before we get out? Simon, anything really really piquing your interest?
Why are the Sounders crying about the Vancouver Whitecaps celebrating and taking photos after another victory on CenturyLink Field?
This was not in the CCL, but back before. You know, I'll give Brad Evans credit. Brad Evans said, look, this is the game. If you lose, what happens, happens. And I think that's
after the whistle, they're entitled to take photos on the field.
Sure,
sorry.
Sure. And you know what? Seattle's entitled to be upset about it. I can understand that, too.
No, they're not. Gonna,
yeah, they are. Why, yeah, they. Why not?
No, because they won the right to take photos on your field.
But
sorry.
You could still be upset
and
about that.
After the game, head straight to the locker.
Yeah, whatever. Look, big thanks to Matt Miazga. Big thanks to Dave Sarakin. Always glad to have them on. Thanks to you guys, Simon Borg, David Goss. I am Andrew Wiebe. We'll see you around next time.